Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Nicole Trautman from Nourish Wellness Coaching. Nicole and I speak about gut health, breath work, and how the nervous system is key in aligning body, mind, and soul. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now onto my conversation with Nicole. Nicole Trautman, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me. Very
My
excited.
absolute pleasure. Yeah, I'm excited to speak with you. Also, hearing all things wellness coaching, all about your company as well, Nourish Wellness Coaching. And I would love to hear from you. What's the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn from this conversation today?
Well, just like you said, gut health, nutrition, breath work, all the things combine into one. And one of the biggest takeaways I want from the listeners today is just to understand that everything stems from our gut. And if we are not focusing inward, we're not going to be able to, live a happy, healthy, thriving life. So if we can focus on our gut health and regulate our nervous system through simple breathing techniques, I can guarantee you that you're going to be able to see huge improvements in your overall quality of life.
Amazing. Love it. What a wonderful takeaway. I hope that the listeners really internalize that. And I guess to sort of set us on the right path, tell us how you got into wellness coaching.
Yeah, so I have been into the fitness industry, I guess I would say, for probably about 14 years. Out of high school, I gained a lot of weight and just let myself go because I was in a relationship. And then soon after that, I just started making some healthy choices on my own. And I was very committed to my results for a few years. And then I always wanted, like, I'm always like very eager. So someone suggested, like, why don't you do a show? And I'm like, what's a show? And then like a bodybuilding show. So back in like 2011, 2012, I started prepping for my first show. And I don't know if there's any listeners that are in the bodybuilding industry, but we can understand that that sometimes can go very well or very much on the negative side when it comes to relationships with food and internal hormonal health. So there came a point where I just kept doing more shows, because that was the only, I guess, maybe control that I felt over my body, because I couldn't control anything else. And the only way that I knew that I could maybe get satisfaction and lose weight and feel shredded. But that led to a lot of digestive issues. So when those digestive issues rolled around, I kept ignoring them, and I would continue to do more shows and then damaging my hormones. So finally there was a time where like I hit my breaking point, and I just was so uncomfortable. I couldn't even have bowel movements. I had to use support every single day to just get relief. I'm very unhappy in my self and in my relationships, and it just kept overflowing. So I finally just decided that I needed to work on my internal health. And that's when I decided to really grasp onto the holistic side of things, got my holistic nutrition diploma, and started shifting my business away from more of like aesthetics and fat loss and weight loss and all those things, more so like focusing on the internals, gut health, really specialize in gut health, because I went through so much of it on my own. And now that's something that I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. I love how your journey from really focusing on the body has brought you to focusing on, going more in depth in the body, but also just tying that in together with mindset work, with soul aspects, and our nervous system. And actually, that's kind of where I would love to start off with, because you're saying that our nervous system is really the connection between it all. And I think while we sometimes realize the nervous system really regulates, you know, how we're feeling in our current state, like are we feeling anxious, are we feeling relaxed, and so on, maybe you can go a little bit more into depth why you are saying that it's the connection between like everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think about our nervous system, we want to simplify it down into a couple things. So we have the fight or flight, or we have the rest and digest, which is the parasympathetic nervous system. So if you're constantly in that fight or flight, you're going to be uneasy. You're going to have stress. You're going to have overwhelm. You're going to have brain fog. You're going to be having anxiety, poor mood, all of these things. So if you're constantly in that fight or flight, that means that your nervous system is not regulated. And when your nervous system is not regulated, that is also going to lead to chronic issues that can be, if they're untreated, it's going to cause long like health issues down the road, which can be chronic inflammation. And we know that inflammation within the body can lead to high blood pressure, diabetes, weight gain, obesity, all of these things. So if our nervous system is not regulated, it means that you're not in tune with your body. You're not able to listen to your body to feel what it's asking of you. A lot of times when clients come to work with us and we shift them away from feeling crappy all the time just from simple shifts in their nutrition, because they're eating in a very inflammatory diet and is ca causing chronic inflammation, they're like, I didn't know that I could feel this way. Like I always feel like shit. Sorry, but like they say that, it's like I didn't know that what it was like to f not feel like this. So when we are more in tune with our body and we are taking care of our nervous system, bringing our stress down, tuning into our body, then that's when we can understand like, okay, like we can listen to ourselves. I also f learned that a lot of eating behaviors come from a nervous system that's not regulated, right? Because if you're not regulated, you're not able to listen to your body. So you're going to be making choices that aren't relatively aligned with what's actually going on within your body. Binging, things like that, restricting can come from the nervous system not being regulated either.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think it at first seems like food is an easy way to regulate the nervous system, but not in a good way. Obviously, we just tend to gravitate towards like sugary things or carby things because they seem to have a quicker impact on like getting us to relax, I believe. But why don't you, or if you have some simple strategies to like share with us how we can regulate our nervous system through food, lifestyle practices, etc. etc. In a way, well, whichever way we want, really, like if we're wanting to be more active, so kind of like more going into that, not necessarily fight or flight, but into that more activated state, a more performance-oriented state, and then vice versa, which is probably what the majority of the listeners need more of, going into that rest and digest, a relaxation state.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you brought up the food portion, is like, okay, when we feel like unsafe or something, we automatically gravitate to food because it's a source of like security, or it's an instant, like I feel good, right? So rather than going to food right away and doing maybe some body scans and just asking yourself, like, okay, am I hungry? Is this an emotion? Like, did I just get in a fight with my boyfriend or my partner? And did I just go eat because my nervous system was in that fight or flight and I felt unsafe and then the food made me feel safe? But if we're regulating our nervous system, we can do simple things as like being aware of it, just being more aware of how our body is responding. So when we're in that constant fight or flight, that means that our body is not safe and it's not going to allow you to feel safe. So it's constantly going to be giving you negative signs. And if that means like when we look at exercise, a lot of people, I would say, including myself, where I was before, is doing more. They think that that's the best approach. And so most of the times when your nervous system is not regulated or you're in that fight or flight, you constantly just push to do more and more and more and thinking that's the answer. But most of the times your body just needs softness and calm, to bring your nervous system down, to bring your resting heart rate down, things like that. Because when we can bring it into the breathing, so a lot of techniques that I do with my clients is if you're like a very rushed person and you're always going from appointment to appointment and you're always in that like I would say chaotic state where you can't like be still. Simply just pausing when you have noticed that overwhelm and taking a couple deep breaths. So when we do breath work in like a deeper journey, we are shifting our body into that parasympathetic nervous system. And when we are in that rest and digest parasympathetic nervous state, that's when we're signaling our body that, hey, you are safe. It's now a safe place to allow things to heal, to allow things to shift, to But if we're not ever putting our body into that space, your body is never going to feel safe. So if you are not able to lose weight, if you are wondering why you're always stressed out, if you're wondering why you have poor digestion, are you actually pausing and being still and allowing your body to feel safe to release the stress, to release the high cortisol, the inflammation, letting go of trauma and things inside your body that are causing you to have negative blockages and negative energy within your body? If you're always in a negative space, your body is carrying that negative energy. So you have to be able to let that go. So these simple holistic practices of taking a deep couple deep breaths throughout the day when you feel anxious or scattered, or you're noticing like you're shallow breathing, deep belly breaths is a really good one. If your mind is wandering before you're trying to go to bed because you have so much on your brain, like just a couple breathing techniques before you lay down to go to bed or in bed. Our cortisol is always the highest in the morning. So if you can even just lay in bed for 5 minutes before you get out of bed, and I know people are gonna be like, I don't have time. Well, how many times you push snooze, right? So it's like lay in your bed for 5 minutes and just, when I say deep belly breath, is like breathing into your belly, feeling your belly fully expand, your diaphragm, not just breathing in your chest. And that's what a lot of people do nowadays, that they're very shallow breathers. And when you're shallow breathing, this also will cause you to be very, very anxious. And when people have anxiety attacks, what are they doing? They're breathing shallow. So if you can focus on just shifting your breathing, opening up your diaphragm, filling up your belly, and just being more conscious of your breathing and connecting with that, you will be able to bring yourself out of these high states of vibration, I would say, or even just anxiety where you're flustered. And more practices that you can look at are simply just getting outside and getting some movement. And rather than going to do a HIIT workout every single day, even though you know that your nervous system is taxed and you're feeling very exhausted and you're like, why am I always tired? And why do I have brain fog? Well, rather than push, 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 like go do some yoga, go be more gentle with yourself, lean into that more feminine energy rather than that hard masculine energy. Doing some Pilates is, I mean, can be hit and miss depending on what, but yoga and walking and just getting some sunshine first thing in the morning, hydrating with water throughout the day, nourishing your body with whole foods. Like those are just simple practices that are going to allow your body to feel safe and secure and signal it that it's getting what it needs to move forward and be able to heal rather than feel unsafe and in that fight or flight.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing these practical takeaways with us. And in regards to breathing, I really, really think it's one of the simplest, most easy to use tools, because you can do that even if you're at the office and, like, eating your lunch. You don't want to be that awkward person that's like bringing out their yoga mat or whatever, but you can take three deep breaths. It's no problem. And I'm a big fan of, I used to love the box breathing, like 4 seconds in, holding for seconds, 4 seconds out, holding for seconds. And then I've learned a little bit more about the physiological sigh. I'm not sure if that's part of your practice too, but like Huberman is big on that, where you take a big breath in through your nose, again, like exactly as you're explaining, making sure it's like going into all directions, expanding your diaphragm in front, back, everything. And then when you think you fully inhaled, you take another very brief inhale, and then you do a big long exhale through your mouth. And I mean, he says that this is like the quickest way to activate the vagus nerve, which, as you well know, is linked with the activation of the rest and digest a nervous system. And I personally have found that super helpful. Like, even just 3 to 4 deep breaths is really helping me, especially when I'm laying in bed and I still have like thoughts running through my mind. Somehow, just focusing on my breath for these few seconds, like, it brings me into my body and kind of like disconnects me from all the mental chaos that's going on. So I absolutely love it. And I'd love to go just a little bit deeper into the nutritional aspect, because most people listening are really interested in, like, how can we optimize our nutrition for whatever their goal is. So you mentioned a whole food focus there, or that a lot of your clients or people that come to work with you start saying, like, I never knew how shit I felt and how much better I'm feeling right away just by shifting, making a few nutritional shifts. Do you have any more specifics in regards to like what kind of foods, meal frequency, meal size, any kind of like extra supplements or anything like that that you'd recommend?
Yeah, so when you talk about the breathing techniques, yes, absolutely. So I like the box breathing. I also like the 4-7-8. So it's in for or in for 4, hold for 7, out for 8. I honestly can fall asleep to that every single night. And like you said, the vagus nerve is very important when we are talking about our gut health and our mental health. So if you find that you, so leading into the food and the nutrition part of it, if you find that you are always having distractions when you are eating and then you are bloated or you have gas or you're very, very full after a meal, what are you doing when you are eating? What are your intentions around that? Are you distracted? Are you scrolling? And then you look down at your plate and you're like, oh my God, my food's gone. I didn't even realize I was eating what I ate. That's not okay. And we need to shift away from that. So what you can do is, like you said, at the office or when you're at work, is simply just sit down and rather than just diving in right away when you were like in a meeting and you were like da 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 talking and rushing around or just re run up the stairs because you know that your meeting ran late and now you only have 15 minutes for lunch. If we are doing something else, we have to understand that the energy in our body and the blood flow is not in our digestive system. So if you just ran up the stairs because you're rushing late, and you only have 15 minutes for your lunch now, the energy and the blood flow are in your legs, so it's not in your digestion and your gut, so it's not going to prioritize digestion and your food's not going to digest properly, and that's where you're going to have that gas and bloating and a heavy belly after a meal. So if we can sit down and just be like, okay, I need to take a couple deep breaths. You are going to activate that nerve. You are going to get yourself into that parasympathetic nervous system. It might not happen within one or two times doing it, but if you can implement this practice moving forward as any other habit that you do, you are going to notice huge benefits from this, and just being aware of that. So when we think about eating and when clients are like complaining about like feeling like crap, a majority of this is highly processed foods, highly processed sugars and carbohydrates, prepackaged foods. When things are prepackaged, they are chemically processed. When they are chemically processed, they are manufactured so that they extend the shelf life. If something can sit on the shelf for 3 months and not go moldy, just think about how that is doing within your body and how hard that is for your body to break that down. Yeah, people have, say they have like the strongest stomach ever and they can eat anything or whatever. Yeah, but long term, it's like there is going to be some internal damage to your lining of your intestines, causing internal inflammation. There is things, inflammatory oils, things like that, that can cause inflammation within your digestive system. And if you're already having issues with digestion, we want to remove the inflammation so you can have a healthy gut. If you have an unhealthy gut, you have an unhealthy mind. It is causing you to have brain fog, poor energy, poor mood. If you're sleeping 8 hours and you're like, oh my God, I wake up every day, I'm so tired. Well, how is your nutrition? Are you eating an inflammatory diet? One thing that I like to focus on with a lot of my clients too is doing fasting, incorporating fasting based around their cycle and their menstrual cycle, which can give the digestion a break. So one big thing is if you are a snacker and you're always snacking, you are not giving your digestion a break. So it's constantly working. Your digestion needs a break to repair and restore and get ready to digest again. Think about when you're going to sleep. You are resting. You are allowing your body to reset its hormones, its brain. You're getting ready for the next day. Your digestion needs that as well. There are live organisms in your digestive system, and there is over 70% of our immune system in our digestive tract. So what I mean by that is we have majority of the serotonin, and the serotonin is the neurotransmitter that is responsible for like our mood, creating happiness and peace and all of that. So if our digestion is unhealthy due to our food choices and not allowing the good and the bad bacteria to be balanced, then it's going to affect how we show up every single day. And that's why I like to say your gut is your first brain, because if 50, 70% of our immune system is there, you're going to feel it when you're making like throughout the day. So we want to be able to support our gut health So it supports our mental health. So not frequently snacking. I would say having a good like at least 3 hours between each meal. Prioritizing protein. Like when it comes to females, that's a majority of our clientele, females. Like protein is important, and it's like, oh, I'm not working out heavy, I'm gonna get fat. Well, no, you need protein as you age and as you get older. Even if you're 60 years old, 100 grams of protein is gonna be ideal for longevity of life, strengthen your bones, and all of those things. And it's also one of the things, protein is thermogenic. So if you're able to consume more protein, you're going to be able to burn more and eat more. So it's like if you have mu strength training, can incorporate with that too. So if you're able to strength train, you're going to be able to burn more at rest, and you can eat more, and your body will just be more sufficient. But also just making sure that you're having a well-balanced plate, like when you do eat. So don't just have a banana. Well, a banana is just strictly carbohydrates. Yeah, it's sugar, but it's the sugar that you want. It's not processed sugar, but that's going to spike your insulin, and then you're going to be hungry right after. So if you're going to have a banana, pair it with a little bit of protein and a healthy fat, and that's going to keep your blood sugar stable, and it's going to give you the sufficient energy you need for those 3 hours till your next meal. So a banana blended up with a scoop of protein, and then having almonds on the side. Simple, easy. That's just basic. But just making sure that those balanced meals have carbs, fats, proteins, fiber to keep your blood sugar stable, so you're not having crashes throughout the day, so you're not having triggering your high blood pressure, diabetes, things like that. Because if that's how your blood sugar is, that can cause some long-term health issues as well. And I say if you're having some hormonal issues based off every individual's different, is don't start your day with just a cup of coffee right away. Making sure that you're having a good, healthy, balanced meal, and then having your coffee with your breakfast after, that will go a long way, and it will help your anxiety or your energy or your mood throughout the day to support that as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really great reminder. I actually have to say, I was reminded of that just a couple of days ago. I normally do exactly what you say. Well, I don't actually have my coffee with my breakfast. I have coffee like a couple of hours later, and I usually feel good with that. Most of the time, I do drink decaf anyway. But if I have a caffeinated coffee, I make sure I have food beforehand. And the last couple of days, someone just brought me coffee in the morning right after my workout, and I was like, "Oh, cool, thank you so much." And so I had I just drink an Americano, just a black coffee. And boy, was I feeling anxious like the entire day. Like just this tiny little thing, like having coffee 2 hours or 3 hours earlier than I usually do on an empty stomach, I literally still felt anxious in the afternoon. I was like, what the heck is going on? The first day, I didn't even realize what had happened. And then the second day, the same thing happened. I was just like, oh my gosh, I know exactly why I don't do that usually. But I think it's crazy how something so small can really affect us. I mean, I'm super caffeine sensitive anyway, and my hormones tend to be like, I need to like make sure my sleep and everything else is in place. I'm not overdoing it with exercise. And so like I'm very sensitive. But yeah, that was a really good reminder. I also love what you said about having a little bit of a fasting. From what I hear, you're not necessarily saying 20 or 24 hour fast or super long, because I believe that can sometimes also exacerbate someone's stress perception if we're pushing the fast too long. From what you're saying, it sounds like to me that you're just saying like 12, 14 hours or something like that of giving your gut a break is probably sufficient. Is that correct?
Yeah, like intermittent fasting is great, and having like, don't be eating at 10 o'clock and going to bed and then waking up and eating right away. Like you want to have like 12 to 14 hours is great. I do prolonged fast as well with some clients as well. So like 24, 36 hours. I actually have a client right now that's doing a 72-hour fast.
Wow, impressive. Yeah.
I have never done that. I'm going to try for a 48-hour fast, I think, in a couple of weeks. It's always good before spring, like a spring detox. Like you don't just like cleaning out your closet, like you clean out your spring cleaning, right? So it's good for that. And removing certain things in your body, if you know that you're trying to do like a heavy metal detox, or if people have candida and you need to stop feeding the candida and like remove it, parasites is also important for that as well. So it all depends depends on the client and what they're hoping for. I wouldn't say doing a 72-hour fast once a month. Absolutely not. Once a year, yes. But there are so many benefits to it. But you also have to make sure that if you are doing prolonged fast, that with females, we have to support it with their menstrual cycle, like I said, and just make sure that you're not, because if you do, you can increase the stress load around their cycle, and you don't want to do that because that can spiral them down to the negative side of hormones. Because usually, in the beginning of cycles, when you're ovulating at the later half before your cycle comes, you are very moody, right? So if you trigger some things that can go the way that you don't want it to go.
Yeah, no, I've definitely felt that with some clients before also, and there's definitely caution to be exerted. But yeah, I think that's a great reminder not to be snacking all day long and instead having like not necessarily large meals, but having a specific meal. I certainly know the type of client that you're talking about where they're like a protein bar for quote unquote breakfast and 2 hours later, like half a shake, and then 2 hours later, a quarter of a muffin. And like you're just constantly keeping that blood sugar elevated, certainly not ideal. So, really, really good point there. And just with regards to no naked carbs, even if they're high quality carbs, also wonderful reminder to always pair with protein, have enough protein. And actually, that's one post that I saw on your wonderful Instagram where you just said like how to add extra protein if you're struggling with protein. And so if someone is like, I don't love meat or fish, do you have any tips for that kind of client to add a bit more protein without necessarily, forcing it too much?
Yeah, so great question, because I do have a couple clients, and have we worked with clients who are vegan or vegetarian. So when it comes down to that, we can add in simple things like bone broth. Bone broth is a really good source of protein, and it's going to be very good for the gut as well. So bone broth, and that's one way that I will always break my fast, because you're just getting all of that nutrients in there to support your intestinal linings after a fast. And it's very important when you do those prolonged fasts that you want to make sure that you are breaking the fast properly. Because again, if you just do it with a carb, you're spiking your blood sugars, and then you're just going to feel very elevated. You can do collagen is also really good as another source of protein. We want what I like to call is like, if you're looking at things to support your body and getting more benefits with protein as well. People say kefir or kefir. I just say it's like an adult yop, so it's like liquid yogurt. You can do that. Beans and legumes are also a good source of protein if you are not wanting any sort of meat. One thing that you have to be cautious on is for digestion purposes and supporting that is it's always good to soak your beans or legumes first, just because it helps with digestion. I am very sensitive to them, and I struggle with them, so I don't eat a lot of them. But that's another source of protein. Greek yogurt is really easy to get protein in, plain Greek yogurt, because we want to make sure that if you are having flavored, I mean, depending on where you're, how much calories and stuff you can consume, but Greek yogurt, plain, and then simply just adding like a half a scoop of protein. So if you have Greek yogurt that's plain, adding a half a scoop of protein, you're flavoring that. You can have like a yogurt parfait, which is very, very easy that way. Yeah, that's a couple options that I kind of gravitate right away to for some clients.
Yeah, I love that. I think especially I often hear that, oh, I don't like protein shakes, but as you're saying, there's actually quite a few ways to add protein powder to your nutrition without having necessarily a shake. And I often think it just comes down to finding a protein powder that you like the flavor of, because there's a lot of protein powders that are terrible, absolutely terrible, way too sweet or just a weird texture or whatever. So for those of you listening that are thinking like I don't like protein powders, don't give up quite yet. There are some that taste pretty neutral. Often it really depends on the type of sweetener as well. Like if you have a good one with just stevia or monk fruit sweetener or so, that's usually a little bit milder than the ones with like a ton of sucralose or something like that that might cause even more bloating. So yeah, I really like those tips. And when it comes to supplements, did you have any that you usually recommend for your clients that are more on that kind of like anxious, constant fight or flight, high cortisol sort of state?
Yeah, so What I would suggest in regards to like a supplement is when we're like have high stress, berberine is really good to have around meals and support your blood sugar levels, and also hormonal support as well. So berberine is really good. Ashwagandha is a herb that's going to help regulate your mood, and L-theanine. You can sometimes get B complex with L-theanine, which is also going to support your mood as well. So those are three that I would suggest right away. If you are like really wound up at nighttime, I always like to do herbs in like a form of a tea. You can get Voltaren root or lemon balm. And these are two that you can also find in like a tea form, and have that before bed, and it can really relax you. The other thing that I love, and it's going to give you so many other benefits at nighttime, is magnesium glycinate. So magnesium glycinate is the one that's going to help relax your mind, your muscles. And I usually will also take magnesium calm powder, which is very, very great for before bed as well.
Yeah, awesome. I'm a big fan of ashwagandha. Also, just general to help the body deal with stress no matter when, basically. And with berberine, I think it's often also referred to as the poor man's metformin, right? To help us with our blood sugar stabilization and just insulin response. So I really like that as well. I had not heard of the tea that you mentioned. What was it? Not the lemon balm, the other one?
Voltaren root.
Okay, interesting. Cool. I'll have to look into that. That sounds really like something easy to just have before bed to help calm yourself down a little bit more. So super cool. Thank you once again for those practical tips. Another thing that I've seen on your Instagram, your content that you were talking about that really resonated with me was that you said healing is not fixing and fixing is not healing. Can you kind of explain to us why you said that and what you mean by that exactly, because I think at first it sounds the same to some people.
Yeah, so when we think about fixing something, it's like you're broken, and none of us are broken, right? So when we're healing, we're not fixing anything. We're just bringing to surface things that need to be addressed so we can move forward and live a happy, healthy life that, I mean, that we all deserve, right? So if we are not able to heal, or you're not willing to heal, you're constantly just going to be having those, I mean, the traumas or any of that negative energy sit within your body. And a lot of people don't want to heal because they're not prepared to kind of dig into that. When we say heal, it can mean something different for everybody. Do you need to heal your gut? Do you need to heal your nervous system? Do you need to heal past traumas? Do you need to heal your mental health? Like, what is it for you that you need to heal? And what are you willing to do? A lot of people are anxious or nervous to dig deep into that because that they know that they have things that they need to work on and bring forward. And this can tie into the breath work. And I get it all the time when clients sign up for an in-person breath work journey or an online breath work journey. They're anxious, they're nervous, they're scared because they know that things are going to come up. But your body knows exactly what you are capable of working through at that time, and it will only bring forward what you're able to work through and handle. So if there's something that you're not prepared for, or your body's just not ready to process at the time of the journey or the session, it won't bring it forward. So like I said, I'm not fixing people because people are not broken. We're not broken. We're not like a machine that needs to be like fixed. We're human beings that we all have things that we have been through, and we can work through that with different modalities, and it all just depends on what you're willing to do and how you want to look at like what kind of healing you need. I don't heal your trauma. I don't heal your things that are coming forward. I'm just like a positive channel and a positive light to support you and to bring forward the space, and a comfortable space for you to work through that stuff. And that's how I like to kind of explain that portion of what I do in terms of healing and helping people with their traumas.
Yeah, really great. I think what I have learned from many of my mentors and coaches is also that they're usually just people that ask great questions so that I can see the answers or solutions that I already hold within myself. And like, I just haven't had that sort of mirror or light to shine into that corner of myself that like really illuminates, like, oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, I guess that's correct. None of the mentors or coaches I have ever said, like, Lisa, you need to do this or you need to do that. Would not have ever worked with me anyway, because I'm kind of like, don't tell me what to do kind of person. But if someone is like, oh, have you thought about it from this perspective? Have you thought about this? Or what was the experience like for you? And then you're suddenly like, oh, you're right, I guess. So yeah, I really like that. And for me, also fixing sounds a little bit more temporary. It kind of sounds like putting like a band-aid on a wound, as opposed to with the healing, like truly kind of like looking at, okay, where's the root cause for that? Where's the origin? Even though we think like, okay, I've got low back issues right now. Clearly, that has come from lifting way too heavy a year ago, or you know, like over time and so on. And then you're like, well, yes, maybe, but I mean, this is kind of, it's affecting your root chakra, your sacral chakra, all of these kind of things. And so let's look a little bit deeper, because there is probably more to that than just lifting with a little bit of poor form. And then also, why were you lifting, feeling like you needed to lift so heavy in the first place? And where is this coming from? So I think, yeah, I really like how you're just taking people deeper there. And also making sure that we're using the correct language, because I truly think how we express ourselves and how we talk about all these things really, really matters. I mean, it's how we kind of like attract things into our reality, or how it really shows the beliefs that we hold about things, right? Like if we say, oh, I can't, this is hard, this is strenuous, I don't know if I'll be able to, like this should really ring some alarm bells for any kind of coach, because you're like, okay, we need to look into why you have these limiting beliefs there.
Yeah, oh, 100%. I agree. Yes, and like we do, I have a Reiki master that works with me too. She's a coach with Nourish, and we talk about all of those things like with clients too. And we bring our more of our spiritual stuff into our clients' work, and we have to first like ask and make sure that they're okay with this, because not everyone is okay with that, right? So if we're like talking about the chakras and hey, like I have this constant back pain, and like I can even reflect off that, it's like okay. Did I have digestive issues because it was due to food, or was it because I was in a shitty, toxic relationship that I had anxious and anxiety attacks all the time, right? So I look back at that, and that's things that I'm like still processing now. It's like, okay, maybe I had that because of that, and that makes sense, right? Because, so yeah, it's all connected in and always getting to the root cause and ensuring that we're bringing that forward first, and not just be like, okay, well, we got to do more, more, more because you're not losing weight and right, or just foam roll, right? I get that, but it's like, what other modalities can we do to just work through the signs that our body is giving us?
I love it, absolutely. Well, Nicole, to kind of round it off with, I'd just love to hear a little bit more about the retreats that you tend to host from time to time, or your mentorship program as well. Maybe you can share a bit about that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we have been hosting retreats for about 3 years with Nourish. So we've hosted three here in Canada, all around in BC, and Saskatchewan. So those happen on a yearly basis. Usually we might have some coming up here at the end of the year, but we're not quite sure yet. But recently we hosted one in Bali, Indonesia when we were there, and we're looking at hosting another one end of March, beginning of April next year. And I also do mentorship. And what I mean by mentorship is just like I have my nutrition coaching, but if you're coming to me and you're having a lot of other things that you're wanting to focus on, and like I said, healing, full body healing, it's coming down to okay, we're gonna work on the energetic level of getting things forward with like breath work and then one-on-one coaching with nutrition. But not putting a huge emphasis just on the nutrition, because someone can come to me and be like, I want to lose 30 pounds. But if we have so many things that are like the limiting beliefs, like you said, and so much deep rooted stuff, we need to work through that first. So mentorship is basically just having me working with you, but not just on a nutrition level, like a whole life coaching level, through breath work, through nutrition, through movement and also through nervous system and making sure that it's aligning with you and in your life and what you want to move forward with. And then coming down to other workshops that we do as well. We do energy workshops where, like I said, my business partner with me, we do breath work and Reiki combined into one. So day workshops with that. So there's so many things that we can offer, but that's the majority of it for me.
Amazing. Sounds super cool. Very, very helpful. I love the light you bring into the world and how you share your gifts with us. So thank you so much. I will most certainly put all your links in the show notes so people can go and check out your content and what you have coming up. And I just truly want to say thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me. It was wonderful and obviously love chatting about what we're passionate about.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Nicole. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.